the NBA world.
The Philadelphia Eagles are
not just one time, but two-time NFL champions. We'll get to that shortly here, though. What's going on? You're listening to Cheers from the Press Box. I am your host, Headphone Joe, and I'm here with my co-host, as always.
What is up, everybody? Brennan Tassif coming to you live from the beautiful New York City.
Where the Empire State Building is green today, folks. We're not going to sugarcoat it. We're not going to waste time. Brennan just gave me a heart out, so I got to get right to it. We're going to cover the big game. Got to cover the big game. There's some NBA trade deadline things that happened after we recorded last week. Jimmy Butler finally got moved. Who would have thought? He only made a mistake for about 5-6 months. Then we got some quick hits. You know, Fulham had a game, FA Cup game, so not that important, but they won it, so we'll cover it real quick. All right, without any further ado.
Ready to return the opening kickoff. Perfect way to kick off. Here we go.
Mustard!
Brent, do you have the time?
Oh, I've got the time.
Oh, wait, hold on. I'm saying a different time. Hold on.
Hello, Joe and Brennan. This is Kyle of Who Does a Podcast and sort of a new low. Long-time listener, first-time caller, first-time recorder of a message to talk about the real America's team, the Philadelphia Eagles, the Dynasty Killers, as they are now known to me and everyone else. I'm not going to do all the super analysis. I'm sure Joe already went into all of it. I'm not smart enough for that. I don't watch enough football for that. I really just watch Eagles games. But, man, the feeling of this one is gigantic. You know, you win the first one, you're always like, oh, I just want one, you know? And then when we got to the one 2 years ago, I was like, I really want a second one, too. So, you know, great to have a rematch, great to win a rematch. The score, it's an old saying, but the score was not as close as the final score. It was essentially 40-0. Basically, the only thing the Chiefs did well was win the coin toss, which they promptly got a 3-and-out when the second half started, which was hilarious to me. I don't know. It's all probably been said, but I just wanted to say my piece. Brennan, I hope someday you get to feel this feeling. definitely wasn't as emotional as the first one, but seeing Jalen get it done and quiet the haters, and I do hear the haters sometimes. I'm not completely deaf to it, as Joe probably thinks, and I give him shit for. But yeah, they say, you know, the only reason he's good is because of Barkley, and then they shut Barkley down, and he has to do it himself. And of course, AJ and Goddard and Smith and the rest on the offense, the offensive line, of course. I mean, this is a team from top to bottom, like team with a capital T, like the defense, of course. I'm sure we've all seen the crazy stats by now that keep coming out about just the complete domination. Vic Fangio, huge shout out.
Thanks.
Yeah, I wanted to get rid of Hurts and Sirianni like week three. That's only because I cared. I knew they could be better. And you know what? They proved it. So here we are, second Super Bowl, 59 in the books. Very happy, as you may guess. And looking forward to the EP. And I'm guessing you'll be taking another giant break soon while baseball starts because you guys don't care. Anyway, thanks for letting me ramble on, and go Birds.
The break comes after the NBA season, buddy, so settle down. All right.
Everybody relax.
All right, Brent, do you have the time, though?
Yes, I do have the time. It's time for Give It Away!
It was the only game on this week, if I cared about it. Brent, I'm gonna let you go first, give your analysis.
Oh, thank you.
Because I opened up last game, and also we just had Kyle give us a 2-minute monologue. So, Brennan, what were your thoughts on the Super Bowl?
So we had that. I believe we both had that.
I cut the clip off before you got to go on, but
I know I was kind of disappointed.
I was like, anyway. I can't make this clip 10 minutes long.
But I also did have Eagles big. Yeah, it was Tampa Bay all over again. They just got pressure with four. Vic Fangio did not blitz a single down. Did some scheme stuff, but didn't blitz. Six teams in Super Bowl era have never blitzed the quarterback. All six teams have won. Patrick Mahomes just wasn't given enough time. The defense looked formidable. The two rookies, especially Coop, getting that pick six was awesome. But the biggest thing that I took away from this was, one, incredibly disappointed because I had so many parlays, but I needed it to be a shootout. I needed Kansas City to score some points.
Yeah.
And so I lost all my parlays because they could not do anything. Well, like, and also Saquon, they shut Saquon down pretty good. And it was great to see Jalen. I've talked about it on here, like crying at some of those interviews that he does. Cause he's just like, he gets me going, man. He gets me fired up. And it's cool to see him win this because we've talked about this many times before, but Philly fans are different than a lot of fans where, like, if our team's struggling, like for me, I'm like, we'll figure it out. We got it. But in Philly, it's a very no nonsense kind of.
And some people are tough lovers. And
well, I think there's only one team that has tough love fans. There's only one. I think everyone else kind of hopes for the best.
I'd say the New York teams are tough love, but like, they're never rewarded for their tough love.
Well, and also the New York teams are very, what is the word? Like, you don't hate something, you like are disinterested. What's the word I'm looking for?
Dissociate.
Indifferent. They're very indifferent. So like once they start losing, people are just like, yeah, we don't care, on to baseball. Like, how about the Yankees? Okay. And it's like, oh, well, fuck off. But yeah. And to Kyle's point, and I'm sure to the point that you and I have talked about on the show, it was good to see Jalen kind of be like, no, the reason why I don't throw a lot is because I don't need to, but I can. And that was good to see. Also, the last thing I'll say, and then I'll let you go off on it, because I'm sure you're going to cover a lot of the statistical analysis and stuff.
You think emotional ass me is going to get the statistics of this game?
The decision-making was fantastic by Jalen. And that is something that has hindered him in the past, even before Saquon got there, was he does a lot of like, maybe, and then he's sacked. Yeah. Or maybe, and then it's a pick. He was incredibly decisive in this game, and that made a huge hell of a lot of difference.
I would say that was one of the things I talked about with my brother today when I was, me and him were on the phone. I was like, I knew the game. I knew we were going to win after both teams' first drives. The Eagles seemed to be moving the ball, even though the run wasn't getting that much. They never abandoned it, which I'll get back to that in a second. But the ease in which they were able to move the ball, the fluidity, the Jalen's ability to get it off when he wanted to and not force the issue, and also recognize when I need to leave the pocket, when I need to dump it off to Saquon, when I can throw it over the middle. Like, he was on tilt. And then the Chiefs,
9 of 11 for the first through the first like two or three drives.
I was in one of the catches,
was a drop.
Just straight up drop. The Chiefs, on the other hand, had the one first down with Juju Smith-Schuster, and then went 3 and out. And I was like, oh, they have no answers really.
Yeah, and that offensive line was shaky at best.
I said it in the clip that I posted. We said it, like, when you got to put your left guard out at tackle, you just diminish what you have inside with your left guard. And two, your tackle is not going to be that solid. And Josh Sweat was able to eat off that corner all night long. And the Eagles, unlike a lot of other teams, when they're paying Patrick Mahomes, you got to be gap disciplined. I think Brady talked about it a lot. By the way, I want to give a shout out. Brady, not terrible in this game.
No. I really like his insights on the losses.
I would say you got to be gap disciplined, especially with Patrick Mahomes, because he will step up in the pocket. He'll start moving around, getting loose and whatnot. So the Eagles, if you look at a lot of their sacks, I think Ben Solak also said this on Mina's recap podcast. If you look at a lot of their sacks, I think only one of them is a clean, straight sack. The rest of them is collapsing, just squeezing the pocket to the point where bodies are just hitting bodies and like four people are just climbing on top of each other. And then two arms, somebody has a leg, somebody has a shoulder, and they're bringing him down that way. So that gap discipline, that gap responsibility, staying in your lane, not over pursuing, not, you know, darting past him, making sure you keep him in that box and then just kind of squeeze it like a boa constrictor.
And I just real quick, because Patrick Mahomes is so good, the natural instinct of a quarterback is to scramble or to flush out of the pocket. And this is something I remember from high school, but our quarterback, our head coach, who also coached the quarterbacks, would always say, step up, step up, Yeah. Step up into the pocket. Step up into the – and it just got drilled in my head because you heard it so much every day. And I was listening to another show, and they were talking about how Patrick Mahomes' natural instinct, because he is so good, is to step up into the pocket. Like, that's just his instinct, is to step up. But when you're playing the Eagles, Jordan Davis is like, hey, man.
Jalen Carter standing there like, hi, welcome.
Yeah. So to your point, no one was over pursuing, and the stepping up was actually hurting him.
Yeah, he was stepping right into them. Defenders. Yeah. And his own offensive lineman. So I'm going to take you through the day a little bit. Sorry, the day had some. All I wanted to do, this is the same thing I've done the last Super Bowl and the last Super Bowl, the two Super Bowls I've been an adult for. I don't want to see any pregame stuff whatsoever. I just want to get to the game, because all the pregame shit is going to do is piss me off. I'm going to hear people washing the balls of Patrick Mahomes and just pitch. I bet, I don't know how many guests people pick the game anymore. What's five people, including Gronk now? Five, six? I'm pretty sure most of them pick the Chiefs, most likely. I'm just assuming.
I didn't see it either, so I don't know.
Okay. So I had some work to do. That work, even though I was annoyed, helped kill some time. Got me down to like 3 o'clock. 3 o'clock, I went over to Walmart to grab some groceries, just normal groceries, no game day stuff, really, you know. Not doing anything spectacular. I didn't have any pizza, no beer, no nothing, because I hadn't had that throughout the playoff run. I finally shaved today. I hadn't shaved throughout the playoff run. Me and the lady are going to do my hair on Saturday.
Tighten it up.
Didn't do the retwist. The flag's back, by the way. I'll get to the flag being back, though. Brennan can see it. Yeah. So then after I got home around 4. And I was like, all right, what movie am I watching? Because before every game, playoff game, I watched the movie. So I was like, all right, what movie am I watching? What movie am I watching? I was thinking about it. I was like, ooh, I went to Disney first. And it's February, so I like to pack in as many black movies as I can during the month of February. So I was like, ooh, Black Panther. That's a pretty good one. I clicked it. But as I was clicking it, I was like, Ryan Coogler, baby. Ooh, there go Killmonger in the little thing. And I was like, this is not the movie. I backed out. It's not the movie. I was like, I know the movie. I went to Vudu. Went to Creed.
Oh, okay.
Oh, baby. Got to get that Philly in me right before the game, baby. When he's running down the street, Meek Mill playing. They got the Rocky music going. Rocky
Michael
and
B. Jordan.
Him going up the steps. I was like, man. Michael B in the ring, like we fighting right now. I'm ready to get into a dog fight. I gotta get emotionally ready. So we finished Creed right at like 6:32. Flipped over the game. They doing the coin toss. Coin toss go. As I said, from the first two drives, I figured the Eagles were gonna have it. And then you and Kyle kind of said it all. Like it was. There's not really much to talk about this game because it was such a domination.
Yeah.
So there's not much to analyze and break down.
What was your feeling when that flag was thrown on AJ?
I hated it. But I got why they threw it. I got why they threw it. Because he hit him in the face. He's covering his eye.
We had a bunch of people here. And that's what I said. I was like, you don't make that call in the playoffs.
Yeah, I was like, it's a little ticky-tacky. Not Florio.
Greg. Isn't it Greg something?
No, it's Mike something. Mike Pereira.
Mike Pereira.
For Fox. Mike was like, yeah, I really don't love it, but he was like, there was a lot of hand fighting. And then I think after the commercial, he was like, yeah, I think because he hit him in the face is probably why they ended up calling it. But, you know, it was kind of borderline at best. But, so once the Eagles got the ball back and scored with the Jahan Dotson down at the one, go with the tushy pushy. Once they were able to get that tush push off, I was like, we're in the driver's seat for the majority of this game, but I still need to see what Kansas City is going to do. Because the reason I thought that was because last time we saw Kansas City out, they were able to stop, three tush pushes from Buffalo. Buffalo does it differently. Buffalo's not the creator of it. But they were able to stop them, and the Eagles got it on the first try with the ease. And I was like, that kind of lets you know where everything is going.
And Chris Jones came off hurt.
Chris Jones, his neck was getting bent and whatnot. And then I think it's the next drive. No, then we ended up getting a field goal. Then after that, we had to punt. Three phases of the game. I often say this. There's three phases of the game. A big difference in this game, if you really pay attention, the Chiefs punter, Matt Araiza, kept punting into the end zone. He kept punting into the end zone or right into Cooper DeJean's hand with enough space to get a couple yards.
There's no accuracy to any of his
Braden
kicks.
Mann kept dropping it within the 10, within the 5, within the 15. Like, he was not giving them yardage. Jalen has the one interception. I don't even blame him. That really goes back to what I said on the Green Bay game. And then it reared its head again during the Rams game. The interior, guys were miscommunicating, not picking up free blitzers for some odd reason. Yep. They let Nick Bolton walk right down Main Street, right down Broad Street if we're going to be on brand. And Jalen threw an errant pass, and it got picked off. But that pick, I'm mad because we didn't get points because we were in position to get points. But it effectively became an arm punt. It dropped them down at the 2. I think they got out of that. They ended up getting a first. Did they get a first?
Wasn't that when he threw the pick?
I was about to say, I think that's the Cooper pick, right?
Yeah, because I was thinking safety, and then they got like a little bit of space, and it was like 3rd and 4, and then it was pick 6.
Yeah. Dang. Wow. Yeah, I got to rewatch the whole game. I've already rewatched halftime. We'll get to that later. But he throws the pick to Coop, and then when he throws the pick to Coop, I'm like, holy smokes. Coop takes it back to the end zone. Crazy. This has to be the first time this has ever happened. The starting three DBs, because we base out of a 4-2-5, Quinyon, Slay, Coop, none of them got their first interceptions of the season until the postseason. Slay got it, I think it's the Green Bay game. Quinyon got his in the Rams game, and then again in the Commanders game. And then Coop got his one for the year in the Super Bowl and took it home on his birthday. What a guy.
And he's a rookie.
Under contract for the next 4 years. Oh.
3 years.
3 years. Because he was
second round pick.
Yeah. Dang. Gonna have to wrap that one up quick, Howie. But I just want to shout out all the guys, man. Like, just a spectacular game, spectacular game plan. I was iffy on a lot of things going into the season. The way the season collapsed last year, losing Kelce, obviously you don't want to lose a leader in the locker room like that. Losing Fletch, you don't want to lose those leaders in the locker room. Having to overhaul the whole coaching staff effectively as far as the OC and the DC. Having Kellen Moore come in and seeing him not have that much success with Dak Prescott and not that much success with Justin Herbert. I was like, okay, there's things he can add to Jalen's game, but there's things I don't want him to remove from Jalen's game. Like, I didn't want him to remove the deep ball, which they effectively did to a degree this season. It was a lot more over the middle stuff, but I told Kyle this. I can't remember which broadcast it was on, but it was a couple weeks ago where after the bye, they were saying on the telecast, after the bye, when we're 2-2, the offensive line, Jordan Mailata, Lane, and Cam Jurgens, Dickerson, the four guys who had been there, Makai a little newer, they went into Nick's office and they said, we need to be running the ball more. Like, at this point, we're 2-2, we're not running the ball that much. They went into his office in the bye, and they said, we need to be running more. Put it on our shoulders. We got this. And that's what the team did. And the thing that I think is most important, even though Saquon didn't have that big a game, the ability to not lead, not the ability, but the determination to stick with it. He had 25 carries.
Yeah.
Only had 57 yards, but 25 carries. You know how important that is? That is the difference in winning the Super Bowl. I talked about it last week. In the previous Super Bowl, when we played the Chiefs, we only handed it off to our running backs 14 times total. To two guys, 14 times total. I was about to say, Saquon had 25, Gainwell had 6. They didn't get much. But what that did is it let the Chiefs know they're still going to try this. So we still have to play this. Therefore, you have single coverage on AJ. You have single coverage on Devontae. You got a safety guard in Goddard. That opens up so much more if you're consistently keeping that threat there.
Well, that's how Devontae got his touchdown. It was a play action.
Play action. And you got
They were up
Ariel.
By like 34, and everyone was like, oh, they're going to run it here. And then they went, maybe not.
I think it was 27-0. You could ask my fiance. The whole time I was like, keep running the ball. It's going to set up a play action, baby. It's going to be open, especially because they kept running on first down. Like for the whole first half, they were running on first down. I think they started the second half with a pass on first, but it was like a little screen to Saquon just to get it to him in space. But I was like, they're going to open up. I was like, the play action is going to open up because they're going to see a similar look that they've seen on a first down play, and they're going to be like, up, let's go make a tackle on Saquon, and boom, right over the top of their heads. Like, it was a perfect play call. After, by the way, Avante Maddox with a pass breakup on a fourth down out to Devontae Hopkins. Avante Maddox, who effectively was left for dead as soon as Cooper DeJean got inserted into the starting line.
It was a good play, too.
It was an amazing play. Great recovery from him. No, man, this was just a team. This was a team. Like, let's just start with that. This was a team, top to bottom. Howie, as I said, to start the year, when I ranked them, I want to say fourth or fifth as far as the best teams in the league in our preseason, I said, the thing is, this is the best top to bottom team there is. From guy one to guy 22, 33 special teams, 53 if we're going the whole roster. But you have to put them in the position to win. Nick said it, as much as we laughed at Nick in his first press conference, his introductory press conference, we're going to have systems, and we're going to put our guys in systems, and we're going to put the best things around them, and we're going to make them execute in those systems. And the systems will bear out, and the system bore fruit. It was great, man. I got a little emotional. Obviously, I was getting emotional, but people were trying to, you know, tell me the game was over in the second quarter halftime, and I was like, I literally had a conversation today with one of my best friends. He was like, when I called you at halftime, I told you the game was over. You didn't want to hear it, and I was like, because the game wasn't over. I was like,
yeah,
the
I know
not
you well enough to where
it's over.
I didn't text you until until there was like 7 minutes left and they were
it's kind of over.
When they missed that onside kick, that's when I texted you and I was like, congratulations, because I knew if I texted you any time before that, you would have been, the fuck are you talking about?
No, I would have just gave you, I was just giving everybody the shush emoji. Yeah. But yeah, I was about to say at 11, I got in so many arguments with friends because at like 11 a.m., I texted my fantasy football group chat, which we just talked throughout the year. I texted them. I was like, hey guys, just letting you know, the phone's going off. They're like, it's 11. I was like, what does that mean? That means nothing to me.
Well, it's also funny too, because you and I have it on, we have it on wax as it were, or on the digital medium, that we were both like, no, Eagles big. And it's so funny now to hear all the shows and stuff. And everyone's like, of course the Eagles won. Look at that defense and Vic Fangio and blah, blah. And I was like, all
of
you,
you weren't
were
saying
tiptoeing
this.
Around like, well, if the
these
Eagles win,
were,
it'll be because of defense.
We're trying to convince us that Jaden Daniels was going to beat us.
Yeah.
Motherfuckers was trying to convince themselves that Matt Stafford was going to beat us. That Jordan Love was going to beat us outside of Toyota-thon. Like, the amount of disrespect this Eagles team had throughout this postseason run, and Jalen Hurts specifically, like for him to get that Super Bowl MVP is amazing. And I do want to talk about one point. Don't know if you know, you know why I'm an Eagles fan.
Yes.
As a kid, I wanted to be a quarterback. Obviously, it's a star position. Saw Donovan McNabb cutting it up as a black man, doing his thing. I was like, I like that guy. I started doing the history of the Eagles as a kid. Like back in the day, you could find there was like little books of like on sports figures you could find in the library for like grade reading grade like 2 or whatever. I read about Randall Cunningham. I was like, dang, they had this guy Randall Cunningham too. And then you see eventually you see highlights or ESPN Classic, and it's like, man, this team is great. They got black quarterbacks. That's fire. Then, you know, we skip Kevin Cobb. Then we go to Mike Vick, and it's like, dog, look at the legacy right now. We got, come, this is crazy. There's teams still to this day that have not started a black quarterback intentionally. To this day, 2025, and my team has had 3. And then you draft Jalen, and then Jalen comes and beats a man. And it's like, dang, all right, we had a Super Bowl, but we had it with Nick Foles, who wasn't even a starter, really. But, you know, love Nick for what he did. But to see Jalen as a black man who has been counted against, pushed aside, he was at Alabama, got them to a national championship. They put 2 in. They basically chunked the deuces to him after another season when he actually won the SEC championship game for them. So he goes to Oklahoma, tries to do it there, can't do it there, gets his team to 1 Super Bowl. Doesn't end it, even though he had the greatest game of his life in that game. And people are like, that people effectively want to make that a fluke. Well, he did it again, and he became the Super Bowl MVP, 72 yards on the ground, touchdown, 2 touchdowns through the air. Jalen Hurts, probably the greatest Eagles quarterback to ever live. Nick Sirianni, greatest coach. I mean, come on. Big Dom, the greatest Big Dom ever. I mean, whatever.
Somebody's got to clip this. So next week, next year in week 4, when you're like, fire
when
everybody.
I'm killing everybody. Nah, man, but I was going to say, I want to give a shout out to BG. BG was able to play in this game after tearing his tricep. Devontae Smith, I saw a funny thing where he lost the high school championship game at the Superdome when he was a senior in high school. So to now win the Super Bowl there, getting a touchdown as well. That was pretty cool. You saw him crying on the sideline. That was pretty great. A.J. Brown, people were mad at the book. He was yelling at Sirianni, went to read the book, caught a touchdown. It's like, hey, sometimes that's all you need.
Yeah. Just need a little inner excellence.
Sometimes you just need some refocusing, man. You got to get the head on right. But top to bottom, just a great team, man.
Great game, man. Great team. Congratulations.
Sweat. Oh, I didn't even talk about the homie Bond, Zach Bond, who was an outside linebacker and a special teams guy. I remember they signed him. I'm like, I mean, I've been asking for an inside linebacker. They got me this guy. I don't know who this guy is. I hope this guy is great. I hope he has a wonderful time here. I don't know how much longer he's going to last. 1-year deal. We'll see what happens. All pro interception. In the Super Bowl.
He was a hard interception, too. It was a hard interception.
That boy was horizontal in the air. That was crazy.
One hand.
Shout out to Kobe Dean, who was there behind the bench, dapping everybody up. Quinyon, didn't hear his name a lot because he was taking care of business. Didn't hear Slay's name a lot because he was taking care of business.
They were trying to pick on Cooper, and he made him pay for it.
He made him pay. So I was about to say Milton Williams with the strip sack. If you're an Eagle and you win the championship, you know a strip sack is coming, baby. Come on. The lineage lives on. Great time, man.
Good time. Just what all you around the halftime show.
Oh, man. Halftime show was even crazier, man. Oh,
Serena Williams out there doing the
Serena crip up there crip walking like it's Wimbledon, man. That shit was crazy, man. On the homies, that was wild. That was wild.
My favorite part was I saw a couple breakdowns of it about like the imagery and stuff like that, which I thought was very good. It was interesting because I was sitting with some people who don't really know Kendrick. Mm-hmm. So when he opened up with some of his like his songs that like aren't like super popular.
He opened up because you wouldn't even know this. He opened up with a song that's not released.
I know.
That was a snippet of that song was released as a snippet before GNX came out. And then he performed that and extended that snippet. And it's still not out.
Okay. Yeah, because I saw a bunch of breakdowns about it where they were talking about, like, obviously the red, white, and blue and how it was all disoriented and all this kind of stuff. And it was so funny because I was sitting with Tracy, my lovely girlfriend, and a lot of her friends. And on the first one, like, they were like, this is like, who is the, like, who is what? And then immediately when he went into like his more popular songs, you're like, oh, I know this song. And then it was so funny because someone, I forget who, but someone said like, oh, this
Shout
is like
Sam the Jackson.
Yes, he did great. But someone was like, oh, this is like the greatest. Who decided that this guy was like the best rapper when he was doing the initial songs? No one knew. I go, I don't know. Everyone in the music industry since he just won 5 Grammys, best artist, best album, best this, best that. I don't know. I think the entire music industry decided he was the best.
I think collectively we all agreed. Like, this guy's really freaking good.
Everyone kind of is on the same page.
I mean, the NFL, they booked him for the show. I mean,
dude, it was awesome. And I like the thing that I like the most, because I was telling you this, and I don't know if the listeners know, but I've been on a big Kendrick kind of thing lately, especially because I only listen to music at the gym, but it's been a lot of Kendrick Lamar. And the thing I really enjoy about his music is it's not just like in the club, drinking, partying, girl. Like, he's trying to say something, which if anyone listens to my other podcast, I harp on that, especially with comedy, where it's like you have the power to say something.
There's a purpose for that art.
Exactly. And that's what he does. And so that's one of the things that I really like. Also, to look straight into the camera and say, hey, Drake. And I loved how they, because there was a lot of rumors going around that the NFL told him not to play that song. And Sam Jackson
was
like,
the dumbest thing ever.
But, and then Sam Jackson was like going with it. He was like, you know, like the character that he was playing was like, you made it this far, don't mess it up now.
And then he starts playing. He's like, what?
Yeah, dude.
And then he even makes a joke. He was like, you know, they like to sue.
Dude. It was good. We're rocking those low cut bell bottoms from the 90s.
Man,
the girls
crazy.
Would wear.
It's crazy. I was like, who walks around in those? That man, and he's short. Like, you can't be doing that. Gotta get a tailor.
They're like sacking off his shoes, dude. But it was, obviously we've watched a lot of Super Bowls in the time we've been alive, and a lot of times it's, I don't like the halftime shows. A lot of times I'm like, oh, this is dumb. I remember watching the J-Lo and Shakira one with my uncle, and it was like super sexual, and I was like, oh, this is weird. but this was probably, I don't know if it's recency bias or the fact that I've been on a real Kendrick kick lately, but this was far and away my favorite. Because it mixes, not only it was entertaining, and obviously he did not like us, which everyone wanted to hear, but also the fact that he was like, I'm going to use this platform to do the songs that I wrote about some of the shit that's wrong with what's going on.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that.
This for me is definitely in the top 5. I still think
Adam Levine Beyonce, was number 1 for you.
I mean, that one's, I didn't hate that one, by the way. But they did some of the classics. and then Big Boy came out, Travis Scott came out. But I think Beyonce solo one in New Orleans was probably the best one. Bruno, I liked Bruno's solo one.
I liked Rihanna's.
And then I liked when Bruno and Beyonce interrupted Cole's plays, Super Bowl halftime show.
Oh, yeah. And there was the Dr. Dre one. I completely spaced that one. That one was one of my favorites.
That one was
too.
Really good. The Rihanna one was really good. Usher last year was really good.
Usher was good.
Yeah.
So I guess that is recency bias now that we're talking about it.
Yeah, I was about to say this one, like the same. I'll say the same thing that I did with the album. When it first came out, one of my buddies was saying that it's a classic. And I was like, I need to breathe with it more. All right. I'm not just giving classics off the hip.
Yeah.
But I've already rewatched it, like I said, because I was so in adrenaline filled. Like, I wasn't really catching everything. I was just like, oh my gosh, he's doing this song. He's doing this. He's doing this.
I didn't know the
Euphoria.
Serena thing until I was watching
the
clips.
What the heck? The Serena thing is actually deeper.
Deeper.
I think even the clips may know. I was like, what do the clips say? They just say that he dated Serena, right?
Yeah, so it's that, that was basically it.
Yeah, Drake and Serena dated. But the thing is, on Drake's last album, For All the Dogs, he took a shot at her husband unsolicited.
Oh, really?
Just for no reason.
Shots at people.
That's how he got where he is. He took a shot at Pusha T's wife. He mentioned her by name in his song that was a diss to Pusha T, and then Pusha T came out where you're hiding a child, sir. He made reference to Kendrick's wife, fiance. We still don't know what the heck they're at because he's too dang private. But he made mention to her.
That's also something I like about him.
And that's why Kendrick just went scorched earth. I'm like, why are you saying my my partner's name.
The thing I will say, because it's the Super Bowl and because so many people were watching that don't really ever listen to Kendrick Lamar, it's weird in the world that we live in. We were like you and I were texting about like the beef and the different songs that came out and stuff. But like, it's a big, big world. And like a lot of people had no idea. The people I was sitting with, I would say 50% of them did not know about the accusations against Drake.
Hilarious. I literally,
they were like, wait, do we need to Google this? What's going on? Is he really a pedophile?
The group chat I was in, I was like, hey, I don't know if you guys liked it, but this one wasn't for everybody. This was for the people who are in my other group chats saying they loved it.
It was awesome.
I was like, this one wasn't for the masses. No. This was for select people. If you got it, you got it. He performed Euphoria. I was so flabbergasted. I looked at my fiance. I was like, Euphoria. I was like, I didn't think this was gonna get played.
Mustard.
I don't think Mustard jumped out with a football. I'm like, why does he have a football? Yeah, whatever.
Dude, it was so good. All right, we gotta go.
It was fantastic. It was the greatest Super Bowl ever. I mean, for me, in my eyes, I got my team secured a dominant win, which I only have asked for since like week one of 2000. Like, just let's not play these nail biter games. Let's not need 4th and 26 to beat Brett Favre and the Packers, Donovan McNabb. So it was like a game where I'm on edge just because I'm a fan and I'm going to be on edge. But pretty easy breezy cover girl type of game. Halftime, one of my favorite artists. I was like, what more can I ask for? SZA. We forgot to mention SZA. SZA came out and was singing her ass off. Oh, man, that was great. I was like, yeah, the video game motif with all the PlayStation buttons.
First thing I recognized.
Yeah, it was pretty spectacular. Life is a game. The white man can manipulate the black man. They got Uncle Sam in place to, you know, it's a lot going on, man. There's a lot going on. Shout out to Cole Kushner on the Dissect podcast. He already put out like a 30-second breakdown of the whole thing. I listened to it as I was going to bed, so I'm going to have to re-listen to some of it because I didn't finish it. All right. I don't know how much, where were we at with time?
Oh, with 6 minutes.
Almost time for you to go. All right. The NBA, it never stops running. I would like to say I'm very sorry for Anthony Davis, who was having a hell of a game on Saturday.
24 points, then, 5 blocks.
And strained his adductor and is now out for the foreseeable future. Oh, man, I got to set my basketball lineup. Didn't do that. It's about to be, got to get it before the 8 o'clock games. But a lot of other trades went down. Jimmy Butler finally got moved, as we discussed. There was looking like some trade that there was a potential Kevin Durant going to back to Golden State and Jimmy going to Phoenix and Wiggins going to Miami. But Kevin Durant put the kibosh on that. And so he ends up staying. Jimmy ends up going to Golden State. Wiggins and other pieces go over to Miami. The Lakers made a trade to get a big because that was one of the things everybody was saying, like, they need a big. And they pulled off what I thought was a pretty good trade because I thought they would have to move Austin Reeves, who's a really good piece, but kind of redundant skill set. So you can move on from him. But they were able to retain him, move Dalton Connect, one of their rookies, a first-round pick, to get Mark Williams out of Charlotte. But that trade after a couple days was rescinded because he failed his physical, which is not shocking to people. Again, people talking to the masses like they're dumb and they're idiots. I remember Izzy Gutierrez, who I love, big fan. Izzy Gutierrez was on the Dan Le Batard show last week, and he was like, tell me you don't. You haven't seen Mark Williams without telling me you've seen Mark Williams if you're just going on the fact that he's played like 10 games in the last season or whatever. Because if you're just looking at his injury history, he plays very well when he's playing. And then the reason the trade can't go through? His injury.
He failed his physical.
It's like, all right, you wagging your finger. Are you going to eat those words? Dennis Schroeder got traded like 6 times. PJ Tucker got traded like 4 times. Ben Simmons got bought out.
So fun fact with the new apron, the new CBA, teams over the second apron cannot acquire bought out players.
Yeah. Because you can't do anything to go over. You have to match for match. So they'd have to cut a player to then bring in a player at that same
which is number. So all the teams that like Ben Simmons could go play defense for, there's just out.
I think those are all the big ones. I would say, what's the kid with the crazy hair? Kuzma got traded to the Bucks for Middleton. That ended up happening. I think that is about all worth talking about. Nuggets didn't make any moves. Nuggets snuck into three in the West.
Let's go. Houston, my Magic are in a free fall.
Houston wasn't a free fall. They finally got a win yesterday. They had lost like six straight. Nuggets on a 6-game win streak. OKC on a 5-game win streak to stay at number one. Lakers on a 5-game win streak. Meanwhile, LeBron didn't even play yesterday. Austin Reeves went nuts. The T-Wolves have found their way into the top six, going on a little win streak of their own. They look like they're finally finding form in the post-Cat era. Golden State sitting at number 11. The Mavs, 2-game win streak, one without AD, one with AD, and then he had to go. I have 2 minutes left. So let's get out of there because the East don't really got nothing to speak on.
And you'll be surprised how quick.
Quick! Name it hits.
Quick hit.
And we'll get to the NHL next week because I believe this is the All-Star. So
time for everyone's favorite segment of the show, Fulham Corner.
Brennan, the Fulham football, it never stops. We won our FA Cup game against Wigan Athletic. We had two goals from Muniz. We gave up a goal. Then we scored what became the game winner. Off a beautiful assist from Ryan Sessegnon, who started the game at left back. He was the kid who played for us, helped us get up. Then he ended up going off to Tottenham. And then not really starting, and then we ended up getting him back. So great play from him. I was about to say, I'm pretty sure we're all anticipating Anthony Robinson potentially leaving at some point because he's just so good and he might bring back a lot of cash. So Sess coming back and playing well at left back really gives you confidence that he'll be able to do that if and when Anthony Everett moves on. But a nice, clean, secure victory from the Cottingers away from home. That is it. I mean, at the end of the day, folks, it was the Super Bowl. My team is the Eagles. You knew what you were signing up for today. All right? You knew what you were signing up for today. Now, I will say, Brennan threw us all for a little monkey wrench there when he changed the time from 10 to 7, which actually I liked because I can hit the gym. And then I can do some laundry later. But, condensed show. Got no problem with it. I'm still reeling from all the champagne. Champagne really knocked me off my rocker. That's why I had to get up and sweat it out. I was like, I gotta get this out of my system now.
It hits your body differently because of the
bubbles.
We'll
bring you the press conference in its entirety.
Also, because I didn't really eat much yesterday.
I was going to say, yeah, you talked
too
about
much jitters.
Yeah.
I didn't eat anything until after the game. So.
Champagne on an empty stomach will mess your day up.
Wreck your boy. All right, Brennan, where can we find you?
Hey, I love you so much. So much.
We're Super Bowl champions.
We're the champions. At Brennan T. Comedy on all social media, BrennanTComedy.com. I've got a tour coming up. I'm featuring for the great Matt Fulcher on called the Bro Adjacent Tour. Tickets are available at my website. We're going to be in Connecticut, LA, New York. God, where else are we going? Boston, Florida. So get tickets. Come check out the show and check out my other podcast, Your Ex Drinking Buddy. I have guests on to talk about their best and worst drinking, drug, party, and getting in trouble stories. This week, I had John Borromeo on, who is actually not a comedian. He's a producer and a booker, but he tells a lot of crazy stories about dealing with and working with some pretty high level comics. So it was a lot of fun. Check that out. Joe!
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Joe Dorville. You can find the show's Twitter and Instagram and Blue Sky, by the way, at Caring Press. My Blue Sky is at Joe Dorville as well. Don't forget to check out the other shows on the network. That is A New Low. That is Who Does a Podcast. Don't forget to check out my merch at headphonejoe.etsy.com. No O, no E in the phone. Also, the music under the moniker Headphone Joe as well on all digital streaming platforms. Brendan, let's get out of here so you can hit a spot and be funny man.
And that's why we play the game.
Hello.
Hello. Huge shout out, Cab Washington, to go into his boss's office and go, Philly big. You also to the Philadelphia Eagles. And Joe.
You
we had that.
We had it.
And we didn't waver. We weren't all like, oh, well, maybe.
Shout out to Gilly the Kid having a hell of a time right now.
Kendrick Lamar.
Kendrick Lamar.